I do have a message tonight the Lord's been dealing with me on for quite some time, actually. And I told you this morning I'd never actually preached a message here on this particular subject. And I'll be pastor here coming up 8 years in July. And so it's a flaw of mine that I've not touched on this very much. And so if you have your copy of God's Word, if you turn to the book of Malachi, that's the last book in the Old Testament. Just go to the first of Matthew and turn back a page or so. Malachi chapter 3, be taking our text from. Malachi 3. And we're going to look at verses 6 through 15. And this may be a subject that a lot of folks are not comfortable with. Some may have a problem with it and some may not. Some may get their feathers ruffled. But as I was praying over the last few weeks about what the Lord would have me preach, this thought kept coming back to me time and time again. And, you know, when you start talking on a subject such as this, you see a lot of people start squirming. When you start talking about money, people get kind of excited about it, not in a good way. In fact, there'll be people that'll probably hear this message online for the first time listening to our church, and they'll say that's all they think about is money, money, money. And that's what happens a lot of days. People hear a preacher even mention money, and they think that's all they got on their mind. I've told you for the last 8 years, money is just it doesn't mean that much to me, but it does to God. And so, if you've got there, Malachi chapter 3, if you're able to stand, please stand for the reading of God's Word. Malachi chapter 3, starting with verse 6. And here the Bible says, "For I am the Lord, I change not, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers you are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." Father, we thank you for the reading of your word tonight. I'm praying now that you help us. Lord, you know what you put on our heart to preach. We're just relying on you to do that. God, preach through us and for us. Keep us out of the way and out of the flesh, and may you be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Well, on this subject tonight of robbing God is what I've titled the message, and right away there may be some squirming, but there's typically three thoughts when it comes to money or tithing. According to God's Word, there's three thoughts, usually three different groups of people with three different thoughts. One thought is tithing is an Old Testament law that we're not bound by in the New Testament as a New Testament believer. The second school of thought is tithing is a mandate that is still valid for the New Testament church and always has been. And then there's the third school of thought that is I have absolutely no idea whether or not we're supposed to tithe or not. No doubt in this building right now, the people listening to me are one of those schools of thought. The people listening online or on the radio or wherever we're being broadcast, there's those three groups of people. Well, I pray that tonight after we are finished that we'll have a clear understanding from God's Word on the subject of tithing. Now, we're going to be talking about tithing and offerings. These are two different things. Tithing and offerings are two different things. And so, may I also say before we get started, I have no idea in here who tithes and who does not. I know that my family does. That's all I know of who tithes and how much they tithe. I don't know what anybody in here tithes. I don't collect the money. I don't look at the money. I don't see the bank accounts. I'm not involved in the money. That's one thing I've never done and never will do as a pastor. I will never be involved with the money. And so I don't know. So if you're sitting here thinking, oh boy, he knows me. He knows he's trying to preach. No, it's not. And so if this convicts you tonight, then so be it. But I don't know anything about what anybody does in here. But in our opening text, we have the last Old Testament prophet, Malachi. He is a prophet to the inhabitants of Judah. If you remember, Judah has been off into Babylonian captivity for the last 70 years. Well, God allowed them to come back into their land, back into Jerusalem, where they've rebuilt the temple. They almost have it finished. They're still working on it, but they're rebuilding the temple. They're getting back into their regular routines and rituals and rites and worship. Everything as prescribed by God and by the law. They're going through all these things. They're supposed to be. And so God raises up this prophet Malachi to tell them, thus saith the Lord. Listen, the Lord is not pleased with the way you're behaving. You would think after 70 years of captivity that these people would have learned something. But however, they went in as a stiff-necked people and they came out the same stiff-necked people. Nevertheless, they are God's people, and God's given them chance after chance. And here, once again, he even tells them there. He said in verse 6, "For I am the Lord, I change not, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed." You see, God plans all along to redeem the Israelites, to redeem the Jews. And so he is not going to completely destroy them. They're in derision right now. They're confused. One day they'll understand the truth, and they'll have to come through Christ the same way that you and I do. Nevertheless, he is not going to completely destroy that race of people. He told them that he was their God. They are his people. And he will redeem these people. So they are still stiff-necked. They're still rebelling against God. They're still not doing what they're supposed to do, even though they've been warned so many times. And God told them there, they said, "You've gone away from mine ordinances." That word ordinances right there, it means laws, statutes, decrees, or commandments. It's something that God has said that you are to do, and if you don't do it, then you're not fulfilling his ordinances or his commands. One of the ordinances that they were rebelling against, and even when God comes to them and says, "Listen, I'm not pleased with what you're doing," and they say, "Well, what are we doing? What is it that we're doing? What are you not pleased with?" And he says, well, here it is. He said, "I gave you the commandment. I gave you the ordinance here that you are to give tithes and offerings." And they were not doing that. They were refusing to do that. You see, they did have certain tithes. They had three or four different types of tithes that they were supposed to pay. And it was on a regular basis. They were supposed to do this. They were neglecting that. They were not giving the offerings, the free will offerings that they were supposed to be giving. And so it was difficult for the house of God to be maintained. It was difficult for the priests and the Levites to be able to eat and feed their families. You see, God has a plan instituted to be able to take care of his house and to take care of his plan, his ideas. And so it's through the tithes and offerings of his people. Well, this temple that they're in now, if you remember, the temple was destroyed by the Chaldeans when Nebuchadnezzar came in and he invaded Jerusalem and they destroyed the temple. A few different times they came in and broke down walls and set it on fire and did all this damage to it. Well, the second temple would be Herod's temple, which it would stay till around 70 AD when the Romans then would destroy it again. But one of the ordinances was they were to bring the tithes and offerings into God's house, into the temple. Now, this was to support the priest, to support the Levites and their families, and to provide food for the poor and needy. There was many things that these tithes and offerings did. The repair cost on the temple alone would have been astronomical. And so all this was needed to be able to fulfill God's plan for his people. But look at what was happening. Verse 8. God said, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee?" And he says, "In tithes and offerings." And then he says, "Ye are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation." In other words, the whole nation of Israel has robbed me from what I've told you that I expect. My ordinances, my commands, I've told you, you've robbed me of my tithes and offerings. They are, by the way, they're God's tithes, God's offerings, you see. Well, when you see that word tithe in the Bible, generally it's talking about 10%. You see, God has made it very easy for us to keep up with that. Even a math dummy like me, you know, I'd have to have one of them books, math books for dummies, you know, because I never did do good in math. Oh, I excelled in history and English and all that, but math, to me, I've got that disease, whatever it is, when I see a number or hear a number, I start getting dizzy and I don't know what I'm doing. The numbers just go. And so, but God made it so simple that even a math dummy can understand the tithe. I mean, if you made a dollar, you owe God 10 cents. If you made $10, then there's a dollar. $100, there's $10. It keeps going and going and going. And it's so easy to keep up with. I mean, even the percentages in between, I can do that. Using that 10%, it doesn't get much easier than that. So God has not made it difficult to be able to keep up with what he expects for his people to give that belongs to him. Now, like I said, the Jews in that day, they had several different ties they were to keep up with. We're not going to get into all those tonight. This is not what this message is for. But we need to understand that one of God's ordinances was that they pay their tithes and give offerings. And they were not doing that. Look again at verses 8 and 9. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. If you think that God doesn't care about what we give or what we don't give, you need to think again. He does care. All through God's Word, we find that He cares what we do with our money and His money. Ultimately, it's His money. And so God says that these are not paying their tithes and offerings. They're robbing Him. You're robbing me, God says. He didn't say you're robbing the priest, you're robbing the Levites, you're robbing the church, you're robbing your friends and neighbors. No, He said, you're robbing me. This is mine and you're taking it from me. It doesn't belong to you. You're robbing me. When you rob somebody, you take something from somebody that does not belong to you. And God says, you're taking my tithes and my offerings. You're not giving them to me, so you're taking them from me. You're a thief. You're robbing me. That's why I titled the message, Not Robbing God. Well, right about now, somebody listening to this is thinking, Pastor, that's fine. That was part of the Old Testament, you see. You're not getting it, Pastor. We're not under the Old Testament and under the old laws, and that was Levitical law, and so we're free from that. And I heard this other pastor say that we're free from the law, and we don't ever have to tithe, that that's part of the old system. We're not in that old system, and so you don't know what you're talking about. You're so foolish. Let me stop you right there. I'm going to burst your bubble tonight. If that's what you're thinking, I'm going to burst your bubble. If you want to turn to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 14, verses 18 through 20, and I want to address this little out that a lot of people think they have, that this was only because of the law that's instituted that people kept up with the tithe. Genesis 14, 18 through 20. Now, this is the first instance that we find in the Bible of someone tithing. Genesis 14 and 18. Now, this is during the era of Abraham. We've been studying through the book of Genesis in my Sunday school class. We're in Genesis chapter 11 right now. We just finished 11. We're getting into 12, where God calls Abram out of, he's already left the Ur of the Chaldees. He's in Haran. God's called him out of there to go into the land of Canaan. Well, he does go to the land of Canaan, and he goes to different places, and there's skirmishes and things that go on. There's a battle that takes place, and he prevails, and he's got all the goods available to him there. And this is what it says, Genesis 14 and 18. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God, and blessed him, and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, a possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all. The he that's talking right there is Abram. Abram gave him, Melchizedek, tithes of all. What's the tithe? Tithe is a tenth. So a tenth of the spoils. They've had the battle. They've got all the spoils. Here's a tenth. I'm giving you a tenth of this because this belongs to you, being the high priest, being the king, the priest of the Most High God is what Abram's doing. Now, nowhere in here did we see that God told Abram, you go give Melchizedek a 10% of that. It doesn't say that. But yet that's what he did. It was the right thing to do. And so we had this mysterious Melchizedek. Some people believe him to be mysterious. I find no mystery at all. It says he's the king of Salem and priest of the Most High God. I fully believe Melchizedek is a Christophany, meaning a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ in the Old Testament. I believe that's who Melchizedek is. And we see that Abraham pays tithes to him. The Hebrew writer also mentions this and backs it up. If you want to turn there in the New Testament, Hebrews 7, 1 through 10. He's talking about this taking place, Melchizedek. Hebrews 7, starting with verse 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Do you see that title, king of peace? Who's Jesus? He's the king of peace. He came to bring peace on earth, goodwill toward men. He is the King of peace. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually, Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. All right, this is Abraham. Would anyone like to guess how many years is going to pass by until God institutes the Levitical law of tithing? 400 years. This is 400 years before the Levitical law saying that you were to tithe is ever instituted. So Abraham was tithing 400 years before the law was ever written. Well, we also find that Abraham's grandson, Jacob, followed in his very footsteps and practiced tithing as well. And this was way before the Levitical law as well. Genesis 28, 18 through 22. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of the city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. You see what's happened here. Jacob is following in the footsteps of his grandfather, Abraham. And what is he doing? He's doing the right thing. He's giving God a tenth. A tenth. That's the tithe. So we've seen from God's word, tithing did not begin with the Levitical law. Tithing has been around for much longer than that. So that excuse that, oh, that was only under the law. We're not bound by the law. And so therefore we don't have to do this. That excuse goes out the door. And somebody would say, well, there were other things that we're doing before the law too. Are we supposed to do those? Listen, friends, we need to understand that God's system, God's way, God's ordinances of how he does his thing, how he institutes his people, his house, his plan, he does it through his tithes and offerings. And so that's how God makes sure that the ministry is financed and paid for. Well, not only is it to finance the ministry and pay for these things, but it also, and we're going to talk about it later in just a minute, it also builds our character. It gives us the right character, the Christian character, on how we are to behave and how we are to handle money and be a good steward. So, all right, so not because of the law. Let's get that out of our minds. If that's always been your excuse, that's because it's under the law, forget that. It wasn't first instituted under the law. It's been before that. The truth is, the tithe belongs to God, but not only does the tithe belong to God, but so does everything else. Now, you may think, well, now, I work hard for what I get. I work hard for my money. I go to a job and I work 8 hours a day or 10 hours a day or 40 hours a week, and that's my money. Now, hold on a minute. The only way that you were able to go to that job and work that job and get that money was because God enabled you to do it. That's the only way. So everything that you see with your eyes right now, everything that you can touch, everything that you own and possess actually belongs to God. And he just expects us to manage it. We manage what is God's. And so we need to understand it. It all belongs to him already. And it is his. If he blessed you with a dollar, then 10 cents of that dollar is his. You don't even think about it. You don't think, well, should I keep this or not? I mean, it's no big deal. No, that's not yours to keep. It's his. It's God's. It's 10 cents of a dollar is God's. It belongs to him. And so in the Old Testament, the Jews brought the tithes for the operation of God's house and services. In the New Testament, the tithe also is brought, what? To make sure that everything runs smoothly in the house of God and his services, to be able to spread the gospel, to carry out forth the Great Commission. Do you think missionaries can do their work for free? Do you think that they're just going to go and hope that they'll be able to eat and feed their families? No, God has a plan for that. The plan is that God's people will support that, that God's people, using his money, his tithes that we give, supports things like missions and the church and the electricity. Did anybody in here? Some people didn't have electricity tonight. There was a tree fell over here at Harris Road. Some people don't have electricity. We have electricity in our building. I'm thankful for that tonight. Would you like to come to church every time without any electricity? How about when it got down to around 0 degrees this winter? Would you like to come in here and freeze to death? No, we enjoy these things that God allows us to have. And the way that we pay for these things is through tithes and offerings, things that God has given us and we give back. That's how we support the church. The next thing that people say, well, nowhere in the New Testament do we find tithing commanded to do. And that's always one of the big ones. You're not going to find commandment to tithe in the New Testament. Okay, I grant you that. But turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2. Now, this is the Apostle Paul. He's working with that that church that had a lot of issues. They were a lot of new believers there. A lot of people have been steeped in paganism. They've been worshiping false gods, Roman gods, Greek gods. And now they've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And they're learning. It's all the learning. This church is learning. And so they're very immature. They're very carnal. They do a lot of things they don't need to do. And so Paul has to help them, instruct them. And one of the things he instructs them on is the proper way of giving to God. And he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." All right, stop. This Paul writing this church. This is a first century New Testament church that has been established under Paul's ministry. He's the instrumental in all their doctrine and everything that they operate on. He's the one that's helped them through this. It's the same kind of church that this church and any other New Testament Baptist church is founded on. We can take that first century church in Corinth and say, this is the way we were founded on, and that's what we are today. And so notice that Paul said upon the first day of the week. That means Sunday. Sunday is the first day of the week. That's the day that Christians have been worshiping Jesus Christ since he arose from the dead. Next Sunday is Easter Sunday. He arose on a Sunday, on the first day of the week. And so therefore, we worship the Lord on the first day of the week, Sunday. Well, Paul says, okay, when you come together to worship the Lord Jesus on Sunday, on the first day of the week, we're going to take up a collection. And so what we're going to do is we're going to collect those things God has blessed you with through the week. And what you've got, then you bring with you. God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And so they congregate together, and they come, and they bring their collections. Paul tells the congregation on Sunday, when you come together for the collection, it'll be taken up, and the collection will come from the members of the church that has laid aside all week from the blessings God has given to them. Look at it again, verse 2. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him. This laying aside, of course, is the portion. You lay aside the portion that is God's. That already comes off the top, all right? That portion's already there. So when you consider tithing, don't ever include that into your budget. The money that comes in, you just whack 10% off the top of it, and you say, that's God's. That does not get included in our budget because that don't belong to us. That'd be like stealing from somebody else and saying, we're going to take 10% from them and put it in our bank account and we'll spend it. That's what that is. And so when you get a paycheck, you don't even think about it. You say 10% of that goes to God. Everything else above that, everything beyond that, the offerings, the free will offerings, is other things that we bring for the collection as well. And so automatically we give the tithe, the 10%. But above the tithe, you see, the New Testament church gave more than 10%. The 10% was still given, but they gave above and beyond the 10%. So if you want to really be a real biblical New Testament Christian, you need to give more than the tithe. You need to give more than 10%. And a lot of people don't like that. But also, I want you to notice here that this church, and he even said, this is the same thing I told the churches in Galatia. So not only was it Corinth, but it was Galatia, it was Philippi, it was Jerusalem. Every New Testament church did the same thing. They took up collections from the members. But notice that the tithes and offerings are two different things. The tithe is the 10% that belongs to God, and the offerings are everything above that. We give that from hopefully a cheerful heart, because God loves a cheerful giver. And so you're going to see that your true character comes out when your money is involved. When money gets involved, you see people's true nature. And a lot of times it is not pretty. It's not pretty. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7 said, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he is purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." And so some people say, well, right there it is, Brother Byron. He don't mention a tithe. He just wants us to give and not be giving grudgingly and to give bountifully and what we purpose in our heart. Well, that's on top of the 10% that belongs to God. You understand that, right? The 10% belongs to God. What he's talking about, this giving above this, is above God's 10%. And so some people latch onto that verse and say, see, it doesn't mention anything about tithing at all. Well, friends, our giving is what we give outside of that. The tithe already belongs to him. It's not ours to keep. And it's assumed that the Christian understands this. Abraham knew it. Jacob knew it. People before the law knew it. People after the law knew it. The people in the New Testament church knew it. Paul knew it. All these men knew that. And so it was a given. You may remember when the Pharisees come to Jesus, and he was talking about, well, you give your tithes and this and that. And he said, and that's good. He said, but, you know, don't leave off the best part. And so he wasn't rebuking them for giving their tithes. That was understood. They're going to give tithes. He's rebuking them for their wrong way of giving, their wrong attitude. And so, and that's what we have to look at it at. 10% is God. It's not ours. Take it off the top. Forget it. And then everything you give above that is what you've purposed in your heart. God's blessed you, and you want to bless him back. And so God loves a cheerful giver, not grudgingly. And so you're sitting here thinking, well, now, Brother Byron, I can't afford to give 10% of my income because I'm on a fixed budget. I'm on fixed income. And I have so many bills coming in, and I have this much money going out. Well, I understand that. I know what you're saying. But the truth is, if you're spending God's 10%, you're spending money that doesn't belong to you. And so if you've gotten yourself into a position to where you can't afford to give God back what belongs to him, then God has blessed you too much. And you need to pray that God will take some of his blessings back, lower your income so that you're able to give the tithe, because apparently you make too much and you can't afford to give that much. And so I remember when Mary and I began tithing many years ago. And the reason we were not tithing up to that point is because we didn't want to. I didn't quite understand, you know, how all this worked. And I just assumed, well, I work for that money. And, you know, that I don't want to give my money and that preacher take it. Preacher's not taking your money. Not at this church. Not at the churches that I know. There may be some that do that. But listen, and so I didn't quite understand the truth about tithing. And so I didn't want to tithe. And I fought against it, and I struggled. We struggled financially all the time. We were struggling, couldn't make ends meet. What in the world are we going to do? How are we going to pay this bill? How are we going to put this off? Put this off till next month, and let's pay this later, and all this. And it wasn't until we understood that we needed to be tithing on what God has blessed us with that we saw things change. We saw suddenly that I was getting a promotion at work. I was getting more money at work. I was getting more money here. People were sending this and that. And we saw when we began tithing that God took care of that. Now, are we always just perfectly, am I telling you I'm a rich man tonight? Absolutely not. That's not what I'm talking about. And I'm not one of those that preach health, wealth, and prosperity, and I'm not preaching up here, you know, you sow the seed money, and if you'll pay $19.99 and send me in this stuff, you know, you those guys on TV. I don't believe in that. That's nothing but a bunch of garbage. Friends, I want you to know what the truth is of God's Word, and I know you cannot outgive God. You can't outgive Him. And he loves when you give from a cheerful heart. And so when we began tithing, we saw that our financial needs and obligations were getting met. And God kept blessing and blessing and blessing. Listen, my wife quit work. She's not worked since a year after our oldest daughter was born. She's 26, right? She's not worked in 25 years. I've been the only one bringing in income for 25 years. I told you, I'm not a rich man. I don't have a job where I'm making, you know, over hundreds of thousands of dollars and stuff. I'm just a regular guy. And so God has enabled us to be able to do that, raise a family, five people in a family, and raise that family. And I fully believe it's because we understood the truth that what belongs to God and not us. And so there is never one single time when a check comes in our house, when money comes in our house, that we ever question or think, are we going to tithe on this? It's not even there. It's not, that question's not there. It's, of course we are. The 10% of that is God's already, and he's blessed. Look at what he's blessed us with after his portion's there, already been given. And so we never question whether or not we're going to tithe or not. And I know people that claim they can't afford to tithe, and yet they can afford to do a lot of other things. They can afford to keep a very expensive mobile phone in their pocket with a big contract on it for 3 years. They can afford a cable television that runs up to hundreds of dollars. They can afford to go out and eat, and they can afford to give that waitress 25% tip. But yet they can't afford to pay a tithe to God. Listen, if you can't afford to tithe to God, God's blessing you too much. And we'll pray for you and see if he can do something about that. And so you may be sitting here tonight and you may be thinking, well, I don't know why in the world I had to sit in church and listen to a message about money. That's all churches think about. What if I told you that God mentions money more than almost any other thing in the Bible? What if I told you there's over 2,000 verses in the Bible that God specifically mentions money and the way to handle money? It's in there. It's in the Bible. And so he mentions finances and money more than he mentions heaven and hell combined. And so it is important to God. And it boils down to, are you being a good steward with what God has given you? That's what it boils down to. It's God's money. Are you doing what you're supposed to be doing with it? And you say, well, I work for it. It's my money. No, friend, it belongs to God. He just allows you to manage it. Turn with me quickly over to the Gospel of Luke 16. We'll be finished. Luke 16, verses 1 through 14. This is the Lord Jesus speaking. Luke 16. Start with verse 1. It says, and he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig, beg, I am ashamed. I'm resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of the Lord's debtors unto him and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then said he to the other, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. He said unto him, take thy bill and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely, for the children of this world are in the generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. Oh, this upset the Pharisees very, very much. They didn't like this. And God's accusing them of being unjust stewards with what belongs to him. You see, God takes it very seriously on how we handle his finances and what we do with it. And you see, the way we manage God's money reveals our true nature. It really does. The better you manage it, the more he allows you to have. The more he opens up to you. And the truth is, spiritual Christians give and unspiritual Christians do not give. I know a church one time, and most of y'all do too, it had a split. Something happened. Half of that church, they got mad. Very unspiritual thing happened. All those people that got mad left. Well, a month or two went by, and the people that stayed at that church realized that even though they had lost half of the church, their offerings did not change. They didn't go down. They remained the same. And it turned out that the half of the church that left went to a different church, and that church cannot even pay its bills. They cannot even pay their pastor. They're struggling. They're in debt up to their eyes. Those same people. Well, we find how that works. Your character is revealed in your manner of giving. If you're stingy in giving to the Lord, then you're going to be a stingy person. And people say, well, there's no direct commandment in the New Testament for believers to tithe. Okay, well, there may not be a direct commandment that says thou shalt tithe as a New Testament believer. But it also don't say in there, thou shalt not murder as a New Testament believer. But we know we're not supposed to kill anybody, right? Isn't that a truth from God's word all the way through it? This is another truth from God's word all the way through it, that God's plan is that God's people, they bring their tithes and their offerings. You see, God's work is important. But one last thing, There's one more reason that we need to be tithers, and we see that in the last verse, back in our opening text, Malachi 3:10. He says, "Bring you all the tithes in the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." You see, God has a big plan. His commission is a great commission. That's why we call it such. It's very big. It's very great. He's got big plans to see that the lost are saved. And that's what he expects to happen. Well, the way that happens is his local New Testament church are his hands and feet. We're his mouthpieces. We're the ones that fulfill his great commission and carry out his plan. The way he finances his plan is through the giving of his people. If none of his people gave, how can they fulfill his plan? They can't do it. It takes money to operate. And so when we give back to God what's rightfully his, use it for his purpose, and along with that comes his great blessings. In fact, he said, "Prove me." Out of all the commandments you find in the Bible, this is the one where he actually comes out and says, "I'm telling you what to do. Prove me on this. Go ahead and try me, and I will show you, and I'll bless you." He said, "There will not even be enough room to receive it, the blessings that I will give you." He will open up the windows of heaven, pour out his blessings. So what about it? Are you okay with robbing God? That's a scary thing to think about. Things that belong to God belong to God. It's rightfully his. If you aren't tithing, I want to say to you this morning, I know there's a lot of people that still don't like it. There's still some people that's rebelling against it. There's still some stiff-necked people today that don't believe it. They don't want to believe it. They don't want to believe it. They've heard some other man say that that's not the way it is. And that was what they were waiting to hear. A lot of people sit around waiting for that thing they want to hear, and they latch onto it, and that's what they always believe. What you need to believe is what God's Word says. We've seen it. We need to give God what's rightfully His. Now, I'm probably preaching to the choir tonight. I know this place is, everybody in here that I'm aware of, is great givers. Every time we have anything, people give and they give and give. God has blessed this church. I'm amazed at what God has done with this little church. As we kept increasing missionaries, and I kept thinking, "God, are we going to support one more missionary?" And we got up to 14 missionaries, and I was thinking, "Man, are we going to be able?" And I kept watching the report that would come out during our business meeting. I'm like, "My goodness, how in the world? Just this amount of people, how are we doing this?" I mean, we had our parking lot paved. We had things done, things worked on. We're building the prophet's chamber, all these things. But yet God is still taking care of us. And the reason I believe is because we are giving willingly what God expects of us. And from a cheerful heart, not doing it grudgingly. And so God blesses. He is just really blessing. I know another church that right now they're struggling. They need to pay bills. They're financially strapped, and they're doing everything they can to try to keep open, keep their doors open. And I'm thankful that God has blessed us. And as long as we do what God says, He'll continue to bless us. Aren't you glad of that tonight? Well, I know this has not been much of a salvation message or anything like that, but I would like them to come and get the invitation song. And I don't know that you may need prayer tonight at the altar. We're singing page 247 in the inspiration hymnal, "Where He Leads Me." And let's all stand together and we'll pray and then sing that song. If anybody needs to come to the altar, you come down at this time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for the message tonight. I pray it's been helpful. Lord, we understand the way that you operate, God, and everything you've said in your word. Lord, we're trusting in you. God, we know you take care of us. God, everything that we own belongs to you. It's not really ours. And God, we're thankful that you entrust us with it, that you've entrusted us with your great commission, your great plan. And Lord, we just pray that we will be faithful stewards. God, if there's one here tonight still struggling with this, God, would you help them with it? God, reveal to them, Lord, the need that's there. And God, what you say in your word. And Lord, if there's one here tonight that needs help, they need to come to the altar and pray for any reason, whether it be for salvation, backslidden, God, a problem they're dealing with, Lord. Would you lead them to the altar tonight? Let us pray with them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand and sing.